Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk with longtime U.S. Senator Tom Carper from Delaware, and we'll speak with one of his probable opponents in the upcoming election, prominent business owner, attorney, and filmmaker Alex Pyres, who has set his sights on Carper's seat in Washington. Plus, we'll take you aboard one of the country's last floating lighthouses and tell you how this piece of history was almost forgotten. But first, now that summer has arrived and visitors are flocking here each week by the hundreds of thousands, packing our roadways and waterways with people, we unfortunately were reminded that sometimes in the summer, a person's vacation can end in a nightmare. During last weekend's Memorial Day festivities, a 22-year-old Maryland man was hit and killed by a drunk driver while walking across Coastal Highway late at night, while another man lost his life in a boating accident near Kent Narrows. In addition, Beach Patrol officials in Ocean City say they pulled more than 120 people out of the surf. Certainly, accidents on the highways and rip currents are always a concern for pedestrians and swimmers, but perhaps a statistic that isn't getting as much attention is that recreational boating fatalities are on the rise. They've actually reached their highest levels in 13 years. So joining me to talk about how you can stay safe in your local waterways this year is William Van Burgess. He's a senior recreational boating safety specialist for the U.S. Coast Guard's Boating Safety Division. He joins me from the WAMU studios in Washington, D.C. Mr. Burgess, welcome to Coastal Connection, and thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate the opportunity.
So anytime people talk safety, there's always those who kind of scoff at these safety tips and they say, well, they're just commonsensical. But, you know, there's an anecdote that I've heard people say in years of living here on the coast. And that anecdote is that, you know, when some people come across the bridge, they leave their common sense with the toll booth operator at the Bay Bridge. So with that in mind, let's talk about these rising fatality statistics with recreational boating. What's factoring into this spike in statistics? Do we know why?
At this point, we don't. The rise is unusual. When we look at the statistics across the board over the last several years, we've constantly gone down in the number of accidents that have occurred and the number of injuries, even the amount of property damage that's done as a result of an accident. And we had been on a downward trend, on a leveling trend with boating fatalities over the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, we get this dramatic spike of basically 12.8% over what it was last year in 2010. So we're not real sure why. We're starting to take a look at some other areas of the statistics. We are conducting some surveys. The National Recreational Boating Survey is underway. Hopefully, that will give us some indicators through whether or not it's exposure hours, the amount of time that people are out on the water, if it's weather-related, things of that nature. We're really starting to take a hard look at that and figure out why we had such a tremendous spike.
Well, you know, I was looking at some of these statistics, and you know, as you might expect, alcohol use was the leading contributing factor to boating fatalities last year. Leading factor in 16% of the deaths. How much does alcohol play into accidents, fatalities? And I guess, is there a way or laws on the books that can kind of curb that a bit?
Well, boating under the influence is illegal in all 50 states and six territories, and it's also against federal law under the Code of Federal Regulations. So there are laws against it, and nationwide we're pretty much at a 0.08% BAC as far as what is considered under the influence. The biggest problem is people don't realize is that when drinking out on the boat such a popular thing to do, but they don't realize that it doesn't just endanger the operator, it endangers the persons on board as well. You're taking somebody outside in the heat, in the wind, salt water. All of these things are dehydrating. You add alcohol to that mix, and when you're on the water, alcohol has a much more profound effect on your abilities than it would be if you were sitting in a room or in a lounge somewhere. You're on an unstable platform to begin with. You're in an unforgiving environment. Most of us don't walk on water very well. So if you fall overboard, you've got to figure out where up is. If you're intoxicated, that's tough to do.
Do you think that people are more prone to drink in excess on a boat rather than, you know, get in a car and drive? Because certainly people on land know that they're, especially in the summertime here on the coast, there's going to be cops every few blocks. Do you think that there's that same fear of getting caught if you overindulge in alcohol, you know, on a boat?
Actually, I don't think the fear is as strong as it is on the roads. I mean, you see the advertisements everywhere dealing with driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated, depending upon what the state law is. You don't see so much on boats. We do have Operation Drywater, which we run the weekend prior to July 4th, which is receives a lot of media attention in boating areas. But by and large, the first thing that goes on a boat with people is the cooler. You're going to go out fishing. You're going to go out water skiing. The first thing they put out on that boat is a cooler. It's part of the process. And we're trying very hard to educate the boating public that, you know, why don't you wait and hold that until you get back to the dock? Much safer for you, much safer for everybody else on the water.
You know, the one statistic that stood out for me when looking at this was the fatality rate of an accident. You know, fatality rates went up 14.8% from last year, which I guess shows that link between the actual number of accidents going down last year, but fatalities going up. Why do you think that is? Do you think people are just going faster, or they're not, you know, very educated on how to operate these vessels? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
One of the biggest problems we have is that people assume they can drive a boat like you drive a car. The problem with a boat is there's no brake pedal. There's no lines on the road for you to follow. And vessels, boats are coming at you from all points of the compass. It's not like you're looking at somebody to come from your left or from your right, in front or behind. It's everything in between. The scenery's beautiful. You're out there. You're looking at things. You're having a good time. It's all about fun. So the operators aren't quite as attentive as they should be. A lot of collisions occur simply because they didn't see the other guy coming. Part of that is that they also don't recognize that there are rules to follow out on the water. The navigational rules, rules of the road as they are commonly referred to. Most people don't know that. They don't know that there's a certain way you pass a boat or you approach a boat or the distance that you should keep, what the lights mean, what the aids to navigation you see out there mean. That requires education. To get a driver's license in this country, you have to go through driver's ed. You have to take a test. To do that on a boat, what you need is a checkbook in most states. Now, states are now starting to require education of certain parts of the population. Usually they're aimed at the younger. But we have some states like Alabama that is requiring licensing for all boat operators. That gives us a chance to educate the boater to be more aware of their surroundings and what's coming at them. That is huge in protecting the boater.
Well, here's the other aspect of that, too, is you know, just like seatbelts are required when riding in a car, life jackets are required to be on the vessel, and they're, you know, supposed to be on the person when they're operating the boat. But in many cases, that doesn't happen. The, you know, if people go and they rent a boat for a day, they say, hey, here's the life jackets. They have to be on the boat. They don't necessarily have to be on. But then when you look at the statistics, 70% of all fatal boating accident victims drowned. And of those, 84% were not wearing a life jacket. I mean, how many of these fatalities could be avoided if there was that tweak where it said you have to have this on while you're on the boat? As far as the life jacket goes, it doesn't just have to be on the boat.
Well, if people wore their life jackets, those that were involved in accidents, we could have saved probably at least half, upwards of 400 individuals, if they had just worn a life jacket. The problem is that most life jacket wear requirements from the states and from the federal government deal with those under the age of 13 that are if they're not below decks or if they're not within an enclosed cabin. Children are required to wear. The problem there is the target audience of those who are dying are the 25 to 45-year-olds. So they're the ones who think, I don't have to wear this. I can swim. It's kind of like being in a car accident and not wearing your seatbelt. You think, okay, just before this car hits me, I'm going to put on my seatbelt. That's not going to happen. Same thing in a boating accident. You don't have time to put on a life jacket before you're involved in a collision. Next thing you know, you're in the water. If you're knocked unconscious, there's nothing to keep your head up out of the water.
What is the Coast Guard's role in monitoring boaters and, I guess, aiding in investigations when, you know, there's a fatality out on the water? I guess, you know, what is under the Coast Guard's jurisdiction? What is local beach patrol? What is local law enforcement officials?
Well, the federal government, the Coast Guard, has jurisdiction on any waters that are, quote, subject to the jurisdiction of the United States or navigable waters. That's all coastal waters along the East Coast, Gulf Coast, the Pacific Coast, the Great Lakes, the river systems such as the Mississippi, the Missouri, the Tennessee. Any water that is considered federal is where you're going to find the Coast Guard. We set a national standard. The state then does what it needs to do with the national standard. It has to maintain a national standard, but then they can do whatever is needed for their particular jurisdiction. The states also work closely with local sheriff's departments, some municipalities, such as down in Houston Police Department is very active in boating safety in the up and down the East Coast. You have all kinds of support from state and local authorities, from Maryland DNR Police to Virginia Marine Resources Commission and Department of Game and Fish, just to name a few. It's definitely a joint effort. We also have other federal agencies out there on Army Corps of Engineers lakes. The Army Corps is out there. The National Park Service, U.S. Forest Service. All of these are partners in recreational boating safety where there's water.
I guess as we finish up here, and if people are listening to this and they take one bit of information with them, you know, out onto the water this summer, what do you think is the one thing that could bring down these fatality statistics and to keep people safe out there above all else? Is it, you know, ease up on the alcohol? Is it wear your life jacket? Is it, you know, educate yourself before you get behind the wheel of a boat?
Well, actually, Brian, there's four things that we push really hard to the boating public. First of all, wear your life jacket. It's going to save your life. Number two, don't boat under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and that includes prescription medications. You need to know what that's going to do to you. Take advantage and get a NASBLA-approved, Coast Guard-recognized boating safety course. NASBLA is the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators. That's the organization that helps us from the state side. Take a course. Learn what's going on out on the water. And last but not least, get a free vessel safety check from the United States Coast Guard Auxiliary and the United States Power Squadrons. They'll make sure you have all that you need, and they'll point out some things that may help save your life.
We've been speaking with William Van Burgess. He's a senior recreational boating safety specialist for the U.S. Coast Guard's Boating Safety Division. William, thank you so much for joining me here on Coastal Connection, and best of luck this summer.
Thanks, Brian. Very much appreciate it.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Coastal Connection on WRAU 88.3 in Ocean City. I'm Brian Russo.